You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans, and welcome to Irish Sports Talk. Today on the podcast, we're doing an interview with Jones Angel. And Jones is the play-by-play announcer for the Carolina football team, the Tar Heels. And Jones, what is the best place for the listeners to follow you online?
Oh, gosh. First of all, thanks for having me on. Probably on Twitter. It's just at Jones Angel, and Angel has two L's on the end of that. And that's probably the best way to keep up with the Tar Heels and the Tar Heel Sports Network and football and basketball for Carolina. This is that fun time of year where both of them start to cross over a little bit, and looking forward to it. Looking forward to this game coming up this weekend.
I'd have to quick ask you, would you rather be talking about the football team or the basketball team?
Well, there's definitely been a little more success on the basketball side here recently. Although, you know, quite honestly, you know, Carolina football's had a good couple of years before this season. You know, they had 19 wins over the last 2 years. They were 11-1 through the regular season 2 years ago. Finished last year at 8-4 through the regular season, and that was with a little bit of a slip at the end of the year. They were 7-2 through nine games. And so it's been a successful couple of seasons, but this year has certainly been a challenge thus far. You know, Carolina's sitting at 1-4 through five games, and, you know, I think the Tar Heels knew that they were going to have a rebuilding year, particularly on the offensive side. I mean, guys, they lost more than 90% of their offensive production. And it was good players. I mean, Mitch Trubisky, I think everybody is aware of what, if you're a football fan, of what he's doing. You know, now going to be the starter for the Bears coming up on Monday night against the Vikings. They lost their top three receivers, all of which are playing in the NFL. Lost their top two running backs, one of which is on a practice squad in the NFL. The other one's with the Cardinals. Lost three starters on the offensive line. So that they lost a ton of good and experienced players on the offensive side of the ball. So I think they knew already that it was going to be a rebuilding year on that side. I think the disappointing part, in addition to the injuries, which I know we'll talk about, is the performance of the defense, particularly early on. And I think that just set the tone in a negative way for Carolina this year. They really needed their defense to play well while this offense found its footing. And the defense has been better the last couple of games, but the first two against Cal and against Louisville, the Tar Heel defense really, really struggled. And the offense actually played decently well in those two games, but they were just hemorrhaging yards and points at that point. So that was a little bit disappointing early in the year. And then you mix in all these injuries that Carolina's been fighting, and man, that's how you're sitting at 1-4 with another good team coming in this weekend and a lot of good teams still left on the schedule.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about all the injuries. Am I right in saying that you lost 13 players to season-ending injuries?
Yeah, on last week's injury report, it was 13 players out for the season. 10 of those players, guys, would have played for Carolina or had played or would have played, and 7 of them were starters. And gosh, it's just a really big number, particularly for this early in the season. And, you know, it's really hurt, I think, particularly on the offensive side, the development of Carolina's offense and the growth of the offense. And, you know, the Tar Heels started redshirt freshman at the quarterback position in Chaz Surratt, and I think his ability to be able to progress has been hampered because there's been a rotating group in front of him on the offensive line due to the injuries, and he's lost a bunch of his playmakers on the outside. You know, I mentioned three wide receivers in Ryan Switzer, Mac Hollins, Bug Howard, all gone from a year ago and in the NFL. The two leading receivers coming back were Austin Prohl and Thomas Jackson. They've both been lost for the year, so you're down your five best receivers from a year ago. And then there were two dynamic freshmen in Rontavious Groves and Daz Newsome, who Carolina really thought were going to be able to help them. Groves is out for the year, and Newsome hasn't played since the Old Dominion game, which was the third game of the season, due to injury. And so you're just missing a lot of your weapons on the outside. And I think it's hard when you're talking about a young quarterback who hasn't had consistent protection in front of him and who hasn't had the weapons that he thought he would have on the outside. That has made it a challenge on the offensive side of the ball. So that's where, to me, all these injuries have really hurt. And that doesn't even count a guy like Jalen Dalton, who's Carolina's most talented defensive player. He has not played since the second week of the year due to injury. Andre Smith, who was Carolina's leading tackler and the middle linebacker, he was hurt in the second game of the year and is out for the rest of the season. So it has really been all the way across the board where the injuries have jumped up and really hurt the heels. And so I know that sounds like an excuse, and nobody wants to hear that, but I think just from a fact perspective, it has slowed Carolina's progress tremendously so far this year.
Yeah, and Notre Dame fans do know all about injuries. A couple years ago, they had quite a few season-ending injuries for the guys, and it seems, you know, they had a complete overhaul of the strength and conditioning program, and that seems to have made a huge difference, and they've been very lucky on the injury side this year. And
sometimes you have to be. I mean, I was talking about 2 years ago, Carolina was 11-1 through the regular season and played in the ACC championship game, and they were very healthy that year. You know, they barely had any injuries to key players. And, hey, you know, I know, everybody knows, football's physical. Guys get hurt. Yeah. But I think to have this large amount of injuries and to have them be as severe as they have been as far as the length of time that the guys are out, that's what has made this such an unusual year in that regard for Carolina.
Yeah. And looking at the offensive side of the ball, what is the strength, or what should Notre Dame fans be watching for North Carolina to be doing on Saturday?
Sure. You know, Larry Fedora is, of course, Carolina's head coach. And, you know, Coach Fedora has really built his reputation. He's cut his teeth as a coach on the offensive side of the ball. He was a successful offensive coordinator at multiple stops, including Florida and Oklahoma State, before becoming the head coach at Southern Miss, and then moved from Southern Miss to Carolina. And he's been here a while now. I mean, his first year was back in 2012. And, yeah, his offenses have set, yeah, multiple school records. Almost every single one you could think of have occurred since 2012. And he's done so with a lot of talented guys, you know, at quarterback Marquise Williams and Mitch Trubisky the last couple of years. I've mentioned all the guys who left from a year ago, you know, really good running backs like Gio Bernard and Elijah Hood, TJ Logan, all guys who are getting the opportunity at the next level. This year has been a little bit different. I think Carolina has been trying to find its way some offensively. We talked about the challenges that they've had just due to the lack of continuity and the lack of experienced bodies out there on the offensive side. Now, they've got a really young kid at quarterback in Chaz Surratt, and you can see the potential there with Chaz. He's an athletic guy. He can run the ball. He has a good arm, but he is a young player who is starting and playing for the first time at the college level. And so you'll see these moments where you kind of go, wow, whoa, you know, that's a pretty exciting play. You see what's there. But then you'll see times where he makes mistakes, and just mistakes of youth, and had a key interception actually in each of the last two games, and the final offensive drive against Duke, and then last week right after a turnover on the plus side of the field against Georgia Tech, he threw an important interception that ended up being one of the biggest plays of the game in each instance. And so you take some of the good with some of the bad right now as he learns his way offensively. You know, running back wise, Carolina has been decent on running the ball. They've had a couple of really good games against Cal and Old Dominion on the ground. I don't think they've been as consistent as they would like. They've been hurt there a little bit too with some early departures and some injuries. You know, Elijah Hood would have been a senior this year, but he skipped ahead to go to the NFL a year early. Stanton Truitt, who's a graduate transfer from Auburn, Carolina thought he was going to be heavily in the mix at that position, but has been injured the entire season and hasn't played yet. So really, they rotate just two guys through there right now, and Jordan Brown, who's a true sophomore, and a young man named Michael Carter, who's a true freshman. And they've both had some nice moments. Neither one of them has had an enormous game, although Jordan had 123 yards against Old Dominion. But that run game is a little bit – it is not as successful right now as it has been in the past for the Tar Heels. And when they've been at their best running the ball under Larry Fedora is when they've had a true dual-threat quarterback. And I think Chaz Surratt can be that dual-threat guy, but he hasn't quite gotten to that point just yet. And then, you know, you go to the wide receiver position, guys, And it's really been a struggle there because of losing all the guys that we talked about a little bit ago. Probably the most talented available player there is Anthony Ratliff Williams, but he's a kid who came in as a quarterback a couple years ago and has been moved over to the wide receiver position. He's really made an impact as a return man, and you're starting to see what he can do as a receiver. He's had a couple of nice games, most notably against Duke a couple games ago. But right now, guys, it is very much a work in progress. And for an offensive-minded coach in Larry Fedora, you can imagine the frustration that he's trying to work through right now with a young group and an injured group on that side of the ball to try to find some consistency.
Yeah, I can imagine. And we all know Elijah Hood. We're glad we won't be facing him this year since he was committed to Notre Dame at one point. So a lot of Notre Dame fans knew who Elijah Hood was. And then moving over to the defensive side of the ball, the one thing that a lot of Notre Dame fans have been hearing is that the run defense for North Carolina is not good at all, and Notre Dame has had a lot of success running the ball. So it sounds like the running backs are kind of licking their chops for this Saturday. Just tell us a little bit about the defense on this team.
You know, the stats as far as the run defense, they're not good. I mean, Carolina's given up 221 yards per game on the ground. I do think they're a little bit better than that stat may suggest. Some of that is facing Georgia Tech, which the Tar Heels did last week, and the Jackets exclusively run that triple option attack. And so, you know, 90% of the time you're going to be seeing the rushing game from the Jackets. And so even if you do a nice job slowing them down, they're going to gain some yards on the ground just because of the consistency and their ability to run the football, and that's their scheme. And so I do think that number has been inflated a little bit because of that. And I think Carolina's been okay between the tackles. That's where they've actually done a really nice job, I think, as far as run defense is concerned. You haven't seen a lot of runs that have busted up the middle. They have had some trouble setting the edge every now and then, and that has hurt them at times. But they haven't given up a ton of explosive runs. There was a big one against Louisville and a big one last week against Georgia Tech. But for the most part, they've done a pretty nice job in slowing those down. And I know that's been a big part of what has made Josh Adams so good this year. Was it, I think, 5 runs of 59 yards or more or something close to that that he's been able to put up so far this season. And so, that would be something certainly that the Tar Heels would like to continue to try to slow down those explosive runs against Notre Dame. And then in the pass game, Carolina really had a tough time the first 2 weeks against Cal and against Louisville. I think they've been better again the last 3 weeks. But the problem right now is, even though I do think the Tar Heel defense has been better, I think they've been pretty good over the last 3 games, but they need to be better than pretty good for this team to be successful right now because of all the challenges that they're facing on the offensive side. So, quite honestly, guys, I do think this is the most in flux Carolina has been since Larry Fedora has been the head coach. I think this is the most challenges that the Heels have faced since he became the head man in a rebuilding year with all the injuries that they faced. And you're starting to see it catch up with them a little bit. You know, even though the record isn't very good, through 4 games, all those games were very competitive. In fact, Carolina led every game in the first 4 this season going into the fourth quarter. But then last week, I think you really kind of saw it all catch up to Carolina in a game that got away from them against Georgia Tech when the final score was 33-7. So I think the question becomes for the Tar Heels, are they able to kind of get things back moving in the right direction again and be as competitive as they were, hanging around in the fourth quarter, have a chance to win, or do they let kind of all this stuff that has not been positive through the first 5 weeks start to continue to build on them and build on them, build on them, and slow them down some? And, that'll be a big challenge, but it's something that they'll try to start doing this weekend.
Yeah, and the question right now surrounding Notre Dame is the status of Brandon Wimbush. And we don't really know, probably won't find out until tomorrow where he's at. But Ian Book has been taking more reps than before. So there's a good chance North Carolina could be facing, a backup quarterback at Notre Dame. So Notre Dame will have to rely on
Wimbush has been so good, and his ability to run the football just makes it so tough. I mean, you guys know this just from going. I mean, that's how college football is now for the most part, is you're going to face guys who can do both. And, yeah. and I think that has been part of why Notre Dame has been so successful. You guys know better than me from seeing them every game. But when you add that extra element into the run game, it just really makes things tough to stop. And the Tar Heels have seen that before, particularly a couple of years ago when Marquise Williams was such a good runner and could add that aspect to what Carolina did offensively. And so, but Notre Dame doesn't struggle on the recruiting trail. You know, I'm sure Ian Book, if he is called upon, is going to be able to go out there and do what Brian Kelly wants. But hard to say that it would be a bad thing for the Tar Heels to not be facing the starting quarterback if that's what ends up happening. But I'm sure Notre Dame will be ready, whoever's taking that snap against the Tar Heels in Chapel Hill.
Yeah, and I guess the exciting thing is weather is supposed to be very nice. It's right now it looks like it's predicted to be 83 and sunny. A little bit different than when last time Notre Dame was in North Carolina for the North Carolina State game last year.
Yeah, that was a messy day. Tar Heels played Virginia Tech that day at home, and it wasn't much prettier 25 minutes down the road in Chapel Hill compared to Raleigh. But, yeah, I do think it should be a terrific atmosphere. You know, those 3:30 kicks always tend to bring out a more energetic crowd, and it's supposed to be beautiful weather. Certainly the Irish don't come to Chapel Hill very often. Last time they were here was 2008. And so I think Carolina fans are excited for this opportunity for Notre Dame to see the Irish. And quite honestly, guys, I think it's a great opportunity for the Tar Heels. You know, they're in a funk right now. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, getting a team that has the historic value that Notre Dame does, having the 3:30 ABC kick, what better time for Carolina to try to get this thing moving in the right direction? And certainly it will take a big effort, to be sure. Notre Dame has a terrific team this year. There's no question about that. But I do think it's a terrific opportunity from the Tar Heel perspective to try to get things moving back the way that they've become much more used to playing here the last couple of years.
Yeah. Before we finish, would you like to give us a score prediction or kind of your thoughts on how the game will go?
Well, you know, I never like to try to guess the score, guys, but I think for Carolina to try to be successful, or for Carolina to be successful in this game, they, number one, have to slow down that rushing attack for Notre Dame. You know, they have to force the Irish to throw the football some, and that's not to say that Notre Dame can't be successful doing that, but they've just been so effective on the ground all year long that Carolina has to slow that aspect of things down. And from the Carolina perspective, a real big problem this year has been third down. And it's been third down on both sides of the ball. They've just struggled to get off the field on a consistent basis defensively. So when they've had a couple of nice defensive possessions, if you will, but they allow a 3rd and 8 or they allow a 3rd and 11. And it just kind of sucks the energy out of you. And then from the other side, too many 3 and outs. And that's something Carolina under Larry Fedora has not done a lot. You know, that they have been a pretty high level offense every year that Larry Fedora has been the head coach. But with what they're fighting right now on that side of the ball, they've had way too many 3 and outs, way too many missed opportunities on third down, and they'll need to continue those type of drives if they want to have a chance. Because I do think they'll have to score some points. This Notre Dame team can put some points on the board, and so Carolina's going to have to score some to be able to win this game.
Yeah, thank you, Jones, for joining us today, and I guess you have your own podcast as well. You want to give us that info? Maybe the fans can listen to your podcast. They want more info on the Tar Heels?
Sure, yeah, we have a blast with it. It's called the Carolina Insider, and you can follow on Twitter on that one. It's @Carolina_pod, and you know, we have a ton of fun with that. We've been able to have some really great guests. We've only been doing it for about a year now, but have really had some terrific guests, and we break down Carolina football, basketball, and have a ton of fun as well, and just try to have a good time with it. So love for people to listen in. If you're interested in the Tar Heels, Carolina football, Carolina basketball, certainly when they're seeing Notre Dame, we'll talk about the Irish too. So hopefully people may listen into that. We've really had a good time with it so far.
Very good. Well, thank you, Jones, for joining us, and hope you have a good time watching the game this weekend.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much for having me on, and maybe we can do this again in the future.
Sounds good.